Welcome to episode 41 of the Star Trek Discovery podcast. I'm Brian, and Ruthie's actually not here. I'm recording this as of several days later. The episode that we had intended to run as episode 40, which would have been the Nose, Hold Your Horses, Regular Feedback, and News, it was far too long to run as a single episode, so I basically pulled out everything that would have been after the Hold Your Horses into its own separate episode, which is actually going to be longer than the Nose and the Hold Your Horses, but it kind of makes sense to stop there and continue with feedback in the next episode. So anyway, so this was recorded Sunday, April 21st. With the exception of some news items that I'm going to add in after the fact, but you'll get that once you hear it. Anyway, we are going to continue with our feedback section. So we're finally 4 hours into recording, getting to our feedback section. So that's open hailing frequencies. All right. So we have our first of several voicemails. Mark is up first.
Hey, Brian. Hey, Ruthie. Mark Decote from Ontario, Canada here with my feedback for the season 2 finale. I give this episode 7.75 batteries and a data core stuffed into a meat sack. You know, kind of like a ratings sausage. Yeah. I'll start off with my yeses. I love that line from Jet when she told Saru to get off my ass and then, oh, get off my ass, sir, as she was going into the lift. That was great. And I kind of liked the snarky doctor whenever she was asking for help and when they said there was none available. I thought those DOT-7s repair droids were kind of cool, although I sure got a Star Wars vibe whenever they showed up. I really like you coming around to Paul, so there's some hope for that relationship in the future. And I really, really liked the familiar-looking Klingon ships showing up. It was nice to see those. Now, my nose, the fact that they're surrounded, there's a donut around the ships. This is space, people. Surrounded means all axes, not just a horizontal ring around them. A definite no for me was the Kelpium showing up in the Ba'ul fighters. That really brought my rating down. And then there's, what's her name? I think it's Han, this chief security officer. How come every time she gets into some sort of fight, she gets beaten down or knocked out or somehow out? And she's supposed to be the chief security officer? I like her character. I just hope they make it seem like she merits the title. And the whole thing with Michael time jumping to place the red signals, I like the idea. I just didn't like the execution. I thought it took way too long to show all that stuff. Now, I might be in the minority there, but we know everything that happened previously, so I just thought it took way too long. Now, I have a few hold your horses as well. First off, why was there still a shuttle left on Discovery? It wasn't like Spock had told people to leave it there, because it seemed like a last-minute decision that he was going to fall. So why wasn't that shuttle out in the battle with everything else? And speaking of the battle, Michael jumped out. She had to get to this certain location where she could try to open up the portal and all that. I don't understand why she wasn't being attacked there. Yes, at some point, something hit Spock's shuttle, but that seemed like it was almost like an Eren blast of some sort. Why was where she is out of the battle zone? I don't understand that. They know that they're trying to stop her, so why is the fight not being taken to that location? And my final hold your horses is when Georgiou finally does lock Leland in there, and she says she wants to hear him scream. Control is an AI. How does it feel pain? And I guess you can also call this a hold your horses moment, is when that torpedo finally went off on Enterprise. We saw the aftermath, the damage. It took out the entire front section of that saucer. And yet, Pike, who was standing 2 meters away behind that blast door, came off without a scratch? If he was able to survive so close to the detonation when the rest of the ship was blown to pieces like that, why don't they make the entire starship out of the same material as that blast door? Nice, right, just some overall thoughts. Control, is he dead? I mean, they killed Leland, but are you telling me that all of Control was inside of Leland? There's nothing left out there that's going to cause problems? I think we're supposed to be led to believe that it is dead because it does look like we're moving into the future. And I know we got our answer to all the questions that people have been asking since episode one, when we found out about the Spore Drive and all this other stuff, why Spock never mentioned Michael. And Ruthie, you and I, we got our wish. It looks like Discovery will now take place in the future. So what started off as a prologue to the original series is now turning into an epilogue for all previous Star Trek canon. And they're going to be able to do anything they want going forward and not have to worry about messing up the timeline or anything from the viewer's point of view. So I really, really like that whole ending sequence with the crew of the Enterprise when they were being interviewed. And now we know that that's why the Spore Drive is never talked about again, why any of the crew is never mentioned. And we know that they have to stay in the future, because if for any reason they did come back, then they would be interrogated. There would be knowledge of them and all that stuff. So the fact that we don't know through canon, we don't know of any of these people or the Discovery, that leads me to believe that from now on, everything will take place in the future, which I love. I can't wait for that, to see what happens with this lone Federation ship out there. Or when I say lone Federation ship, there's always the possibility that Starfleet still exists in some capacity. And how are they going to integrate into a Starfleet that is almost 1,000 years more advanced than what they were? And finally, one of the biggest things that brought down my rating was the whole conversation between Michael and Spock before she finally left. Now, don't get me wrong. I love that. I think it was needed. But it was in the middle of this huge battle, and I couldn't help but think, while they're having this conversation, how many people were out there dying in the battle while the two of them were talking? Don't get me wrong. I have a feeling that the ratings for this episode are going to be really, really high, and people are going to hear that I gave it a 7.75 and think that, man, he's really hard on this or he doesn't like this. I love this series. I think it's amazing. It's just last week I gave it an 8.5, and I know that this week wasn't as strong as last week's, in my opinion. I also don't rate things as high as you guys do. I do use a scale from 1 to 10, and you got to remember, on a scale from 1 to 10, 5-6, that's an average episode. So 7.75 is well above average. It just takes an awful lot for it to be a perfect episode, and this one had too many things I was shaking my head at to mean that. But I love where they're going. I do hope that we get an entire new adventure for Discovery next season, and I can't wait. So that's my feedback for this season finale. I just want to say, Brian and Ruthie, you guys are doing a phenomenal job with the podcast. I'm absolutely loving it, and I can't wait to follow more Star Trek with you guys in the future. Mark Decote from Ontario, Canada, out.
Aw, thanks, Mark.
Yes, thanks, Mark. And as usual, great insights. And by the way, I told him he could go over the 4-minute maximum. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that he did give it the lowest rating of anyone. And I really wanted to hear some of his reasons for it. So,
yeah.
And I got to say,
you explain yourself.
Yeah. I got to say, you know, everything that you said, Mark, I cannot. Well, the Burnham Spock conversation, I did not have anywhere near the problems that you said, but yes, how many people were dying while they were saying all that stuff? Yeah, okay, I guess you're right, but still, I didn't. That was a conversation that needed serious? To be said.
You guys are heartless. That's the last time she's ever gonna see him ever, and she can't take a quick goodbye. I'm sorry if a whole bunch of people died, but man, you guys are you guys are rough.
You guys.
Yes, you and Mark. That's you guys.
Me? No. I'm saying that I'm only acknowledging the how many other people are out there dying thing. I'm saying that that needed to happen, and that.
Okay, we don't know how many people died, if any. How long did that conversation took? 3 minutes? So not having that conversation because someone might die is ridiculous.
Okay.
You don't know. You don't know that people are dying. You don't know that they're not dying. So in the Schrodinger's cat universe, we're going to go ahead and have that conversation. Okay. Gosh. Tell you what, man.
Okay.
Men.
Don't put me in. I'm not with Mark on this. Okay. I'm not with Mark. I'm only like acknowledging a little tiny piece of that. Not
backpedal, backpedal.
No, I'm front pedaling. I know what I said. You're
pedaling away from Mark as fast as you yes, can.
Yeah.
No, I'm not with him.
Reminds me of that Kramer running away. Or there's an animated GIF of a scene in Seinfeld where Kramer's kind of like running away from something. It's hilarious.
Was he running away from something that he said after the show was over?
Maybe.
He really should have been doing
that.
A little bit.
Yeah. Okay, so I wrote some notes while his voiceover was playing.
Me too.
Loved the Hugh Stamets moment. I thought that that was so needed, and it was very unexpected when it happened, because I thought he was gone, but loved that it happened, and loved that he came to, and I loved the line of, "You're my home."
Mm-hmm.
Love that. And so fitting. And yeah, those two need to be together. They're so good together.
Yeah.
The Z axis. Yes. Is old school Star Trek. So I get your point. But like I think I said earlier, maybe in the last episode, the fight happened in all three axes. So being surrounded on two, I don't really have a problem with it.
Now, yeah, I totally, like, I think we had this conversation before about the whole.
Prior to the season finale, I went back and I rewatched the entire season 2 in 2 days. So,
wow.
Yeah. And by the way, it is as awesome as I thought, watching it as binging it versus watching it as week to week. It is such an amazing show, and the season was even more amazing than I thought how amazing it was last season. So I really think, like, I'm sure that this will get some flames, but I'm sorry. This finale, it's maybe not a valid comparison, but I'm going to make it anyway. This was much better than the season premiere of Game of Thrones, in my opinion. So I thought that it was Game of Thrones premiere was good, but this is why I say that this is the best show on TV right now. Now, I'm going to give Game of Thrones a chance to best that, and it may. So we can discuss that in the next roundtable. But anyway. Okay. So Non. Yes.
Crickets.
Notice how Ruthie was staying silent. I did notice that.
I cannot comment. Well, I cannot make any comments.
It's not a valid comparison, but.
Nope. It's really not.
It's not. But anyway, Non. Okay. So I want to address Non for a second, because one of the things that I picked up on, and I vaguely thought that this was true, but I confirmed this in doing the rewatch. Non was not a security officer when she first came on board Discovery. She was announced as an engineer.
What?
Yep.
I thought, I could have sworn he said she was the chief security officer. Why did we all think that?
Well, she was. She was named the chief security officer on Discovery, but I'm saying on the Enterprise, she is, I don't think she was chief engineer. She's just engineer, like an engineer. So not even acknowledged as chief engineer.
Huh.
I don't know, but the only thing I can figure is that perhaps Discovery got that wrong and identified her as an engineer, though she was actually chief security officer. I don't know.
I could have sworn that Pike said she was his chief security officer. But you rewatched the season, so...
I'll go back and look. I will go back and look, but it was specifically said when she beamed in, it was said that Captain Pike, science and engineering officers are waiting to beam aboard. So that's why I said that. Good point, though, on Burnham not being in the battle. You would think that the Section 31 drones would be trying to stop her and get her back in the battle. You'd think they would try and be shoot her down from the debris field. So that is a good point.
I don't know about that, though, because do they know what their plan is? I mean, she's a target out there because she's basically a human being flying around in this tiny little suit.
Maybe they don't know. I don't know. With
not that much protection in a battle, a space battle. So that's why she's a target. And I think that... I mean, I would say maybe just an easy target, but I don't think that they know what the plan is.
But why wouldn't they go after her when she's landed? That
why would they? They want the sphere data from Discovery.
And they don't care about the rest?
Well, no, they don't care about anything else. Mm-hmm. All Control wants is the sphere data. So yeah. Some lone human being flew out of the ship and this, you know, the only thing that made her important was the protection that they were giving her. Once she landed, forget about her.
Mm.
They want the sphere data. They don't care about anything else. She, unless they waved a red flag around and said, hey, Michael's got the sphere data. And she's right over there.
Wouldn't they be able to identify, though, that she had the time suit on?
Maybe. But again, they don't care about that.
I guess.
Their focus is the sphere data. Because once they get that, that's the whole everything. Once they get that, then it's game over. Doesn't matter what anybody else is doing or trying to do. So if we get the sphere data, it's game over. So that's our number one goal. I mean, if you think about it in terms of what a machine's priorities would be, a machine's not going to prioritize something that may happen over what our main goal is. Or a human that might have an impact on what's happening over trying to get that sphere data.
Maybe Control's actions are proving the point that it wasn't fully sentient yet.
Yeah. I mean, I would think.
Hadn't thought of that, but that's a good point.
I mean, to me, a machine is single-minded in purpose.
Yeah.
They do not have the ability for abstract thought. And trying to predict what something will do to prevent your actions, I think, is abstract thought, which I don't think that Control had.
So the point that was mentioned a couple of episodes by Gant, the fact that it knew all possible scenarios or something was not true.
Well, maybe, but I mean, maybe they could algorithmically predict possible scenarios and outcomes, but
yeah,
I don't know. That could have been Control thinking that they knew all possible scenarios because, again, abstract thought. A machine doesn't know what it doesn't know.
You don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I have a hard enough time planning for things I don't know. So
yeah. Well, yeah.
A computer, a thing that only relies on the input data that it gets.
Yeah.
At least I'm aware of things I don't know. Do we even know that Control is aware that there are things out there that it doesn't know? I don't know.
It doesn't know either. Does it know or that it doesn't know everything? It doesn't know. Anyway.
I don't know. This is also making my head hurt.
So I agree with you on the blast doors, and they should make everything in the starship based on the blast doors because. And to think about that, like, let's take a second and think about this. Pike is on the other side of the blast door, and that torpedo takes out a whole chunk of the saucer, yet he's fine. That's some pretty damn good blast doors, if you ask me.
Maybe that material is too expensive or whatever to produce, and so they can only put it in key areas.
Sucks to be not in one of those areas, I guess.
Well, that's why they're in blast doors.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's supposedly nothing left of Control. They purged it. Well,
don't know about that.
Well, that's the point I was going to make, is the dude said it. Okay.
What dude? Oh, yeah. Oh, he thinks he did.
Shady. And he wasn't even an admiral. I don't know what he was, but
some Section 31 dude who's the only part of him we get to see is the back of his head and his mouth.
Yeah.
That right there means that you're up to no good.
Yeah. Remind me of the court martial from Battle of the Binary Stars. It's like the shady admirals, or the badmirals, as they're called. You never see their face. They are poorly lit or something.
Yeah.
Okay, so the last thing I mentioned in here, and everything else was mentioned already, so that I didn't mention is stuff that we had already mentioned, so I'm not going to repeat it. But I am going to mention one thing, and that is the way Mark does a rating versus how I do a rating. You will notice...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You will notice that my ratings are high. Every episode this year... this season has been above a 9 for me, all 14 episodes. And in fact, I think the one that I gave a 9, I increased by the end. So, in fact, I did. It was originally a 9. I gave it a 9.5. Now, what does this mean? Does that mean that I'm crazy and everything is amazing? No. This is what it means, okay? I, unlike you, Mark, and how you rate, and you're saying that a 5 is an average episode... how I do it is I'm rating all television, okay? So in order for a show to be something that I would want to cover week in and week out, every episode better be a 7 at least. It had better be enough that shows my interest enough for me to want to cover it. Because let me tell you something, with all the things I got going on, if the show isn't good enough, I'm not going to want to cover it. Okay. So when a show drops below 7, then I start losing interest in the show. So an episode like, oh, I don't know. There was one episode from Falling Skies. I gave a 3. If that, now that's just based on general, you know, it should have at least been a 5 because it's in the genre that I love. It was a 3, which tells me how bad it was. So to me, that might be a 1 for you, but something like Kardashians or something like that, that would be more like a 3 or a 2 or a 1 or something. That is a show I have no interest at all in, and that's the kind of show that gets those kind of ratings because I don't care, and it's probably garbage. So that's
why. Yeah.
So that's how I rate a show that I'm covering. Better at least get a 7, and if it gets consistently lower than a 7, then I'm gonna stop watching it. Not only will I stop covering it, I'll stop watching it. So, and yeah, I think with
I'm
you,
kind of
Ruthie,
the same way.
Yeah,
even though
I was gonna say with the Walking,
even though
Dead,
I'm arbitrary, I think I'm kind of that way.
Well, that's what happened with you in Walking Dead. You started dropping below 7s,
and I was like, it's time to be done.
Yeah, and like I remember that one season finale, which I thought was amazing. I think you gave a 6.5, and I was like, what?
What? I know. That was the most terrible episode we ever had to record.
Yeah.
Because you were like, I don't understand what's happening. And I was like, I don't know why this show's so bad.
Yeah. But anyway.
I felt so bad for you, though. I was like, I'm sorry. I don't like it.
And I said to myself, it's like, I'm going to lose her. You know, but it was at the same, I realized over the hiatus that was like, look, if you can't do this, this is just going to make the show suffer. So, you know, it's probably better if you leave. And I think it has been. And
better for me.
Well, no, it's better for the show, but it's also better for you. But
it's definitely better for the show because nobody wants to hear a negative Nancy week after week. And if you don't have positive things to say, then don't say anything at all. Well, then why are you podcasting about
it? There are shows that's all they do is, and there are shows that just on this show, which I don't understand, but
yeah, those people are dumb.
Yeah. but that's my point, though, is that how can you do that? It's like, either if I don't rate a show high enough, I'm not going to watch the show. Forget about covering it. I'm not going to watch the show. I'm not going to care. That's why so few shows, a lot of shows, I'll start watching it and then I kind of fall off and I don't keep watching it because it's just not doing it for me.
Sometimes I watch a show and I realize I'm thinking the entire time I'm watching it, why am I watching this? And then I'm like, oh, it's time to be done with this show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
And that was with you and The Walking Dead, that we reached that point where it's like the only reason you were watching the show was to cover it.
Yeah. I think maybe that shuttle was left there because it wasn't a battle shuttle, maybe?
A battle shuttle.
Maybe.
Perfect sense. Actually,
it didn't really seem like they had a whole bunch of shuttles out there that were like transport shuttles.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point, is that it hadn't been upgraded.
Well, it wasn't. I mean, let's be honest. They all looked a little different, didn't they? All the battle shuttles that were out there, they didn't look like that.
Yeah.
So I think that maybe that's just not what that kind of thing is. I don't know. I mean, no, he didn't say, but at the same time, why would you take a Pinto on an Indy 500 race?
Well, it has an exploding gasket tank. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
And if you don't understand that, go look up Ford Pinto on Wikipedia and you'll understand that.
Yeah, that would be the only reason you would take that Ford Pinto out, which is why I was going to say it. I was going to say also, unless you are like desperate, then you're not going to do that. You're not going to take out your scooter in your whatever. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You understand.
Yes.
That's my new phrase. You know what I'm saying? That's what I say instead of, you know. Anyhow.
Yes. Look under the section of fuel system fires, recalls, and litigation. That's all you need to know.
Oh, man. Poor Pinto. I actually knew someone who drove a Pinto.
I did, too.
It's kind of fun. Anyway, so that's why that shuttle was not being used, mm-hmm. I think. Mark, I hope that helps. If not, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
I think that was the only other thing I had to say, because I also didn't think that all of Control was dead. Especially when they killed the, like, queen, so to speak, air quote, queen, that then all the other drones died, basically. I'm absolutely sure that Control put itself somewhere else, because really, I mean, can you ever really delete data? I mean, really?
No, you can't. See?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you can't. And that was a question that I had, too, about that. So
that's what I'm saying.
By the way, look up AVEMIZAR in Wikipedia. Don't look it up right now. But basically, a company built a rotable aircraft based on a Ford Pinto in 1971.
What?
It's funny looking.
Why would they do that?
I don't know, but it's there, and it's the goofiest thing I've ever seen. It's part plane and part Ford Pinto.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, okay.
What is this bizarre segue that's happening right now? Can we maybe stay on point?
Sorry, I shouldn't have used a Pinto as an example.
Oh, but that's... I will definitely be posting that in the show notes. Or actually on the blog post, but both the Ford Pinto and the AVE Mizar. Okay, so let's move on to Steve's voicemail.
Hey, Brian, this is Steve. And I know I've been not present very much for this season, so I'm horrible at that. But I do want to say I absolutely loved this season finale. I'm going to try to keep this as quick as possible. I've only watched it once. So I give this a 10 out of 10 yum yums from Commander Non, or a 10 out of 10 meat sausages. You and my yeses. There are way too many yeses for me in this episode that I wouldn't be able to fulfill the time constraints. Get it? Time. My nose are Wilson Cruz's acting could have gotten over the top but it didn't. So I don't have any no's. And my only feedback, really mainly is that I got the feels when Saru's sister was talking about the fact that she was willing to fight with them and for them. And I thought that was so great. And just the reminder that time is relative, and I can't wait for season 3. Again, I've kept this under 2 minutes, so I'm going to say this real quick. I don't think I've ever given anything else a 10 out of 10, a perfect score. This season finale was awesome. I'm sure if people watch it multiple times, and you could probably pick apart things. On the first watch, though, it was amazing. It had everything that I ever wanted. And it did set us up for a season 3. It set us up for a Enterprise series with Anson Mount as Captain Pike. Love it. Talk to you later.
I agree. I totally agree.
Me too.
And of course, Steve. I of course give you the Showcase Award. Yeah, I liked what you said about Serana. Don't quite understand how she was able to learn so quickly, but I guess it is part of the Kelpians. They learned quickly. What makes you also wonder how they were so technology void before. They couldn't have built something before other than stealing me.
They were technology deprived because the Ba'ul didn't let them have anything.
Yeah, I guess that's probably what happened.
I mean, just because you're smart, if you don't have access to technology, doesn't mean you're going to automatically know about technology.
Yeah. Yep. And your other point, because I know certain things that we've already talked about, this Stamets, Culber stuff, love that they got back together. They had to.
Yeah. Could have been over the top, but wasn't.
And even with faults in this episode, and we're pointing him out. This is close to a masterpiece in my estimation. I mean, I sat there. I hadn't said this yet, but when I first watched this, I sat there in front of my, I was watching it actually on the same computer that I'm using right now. And I just was shaking the whole time, crying, just like, I was just so full of emotion that I had to. I think one of the first things I did was I messaged you, and because I was saying, I hope she's not going to wait until Friday again. So I had to, I made it like my personal goal that to get you to watch it as soon as possible, because I didn't want you to get spoiled for one thing. And I knew once you saw it that you would thank me for it. So. That,
yep,
it
mission
just,
accomplished.
It's amazing hour and 5 minutes of television. I mean, the only negative I could say is I didn't really care about seeing the preview of Strange Angel at the start.
Oh, yeah, I don't know why they kept
that. They're trying to push that, which is fine, you know, but
yeah, whatever.
Yeah, and if you don't
really have anything to do with the show, though, so
on CBS All Access prior to the actual episode starting, there was a short. Like commercial for the season 2 of Strange Angel. So that's fine.
HBO does the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fine. You know, I just didn't, whatever. It wasn't that big of a deal. It wasn't like it was a several minute thing.
Right. It was like a 30 second trailer or something.
Yeah. It wasn't much more than that. So it was great episode, and I can't say enough positive things about it. And it actually makes me upset. When I start thinking about it, is that, you know, we're going to now go several months without any Star Trek Discovery. And the only good thing is, you know, hopefully in the next 6 or 7, maybe even 8 months, we'll get a Picard series. But anyway, so did you have anything to say about Steve's?
No, I don't think so.
All right. So let's move on to Fred.
Hello, Brian and Ruthie, and all other listeners. Of course, this is Fred again, and now with the feedback for the season 2 finale. Whoa, what a blast, and literally a blast. Big fight scenes, perhaps for me a little bit too much and too hectic with all these little drones and shuttles. It was a bit too hectic and too much. But on the other hand, it gave a good impression of the massiveness of it. I had quite some positive and negative feedback, but I put that in my yeses, noes, and hold your horses. So they are already being read by you. And I'm not going to repeat them here, because this podcast probably will be quite long anyhow. And perhaps you even will decide to split it up into two parts. So I made two audio feedbacks, one for something about episode 13 and this piece for episode 14. Finally, we know the name of number one, and that's Una. Actually, I only noticed this because it was written in the Dutch subtitles and it was said as Nuna, N-O-O-N-A. And then when I checked the English subtitles, the name was not present at all. It was also said very quickly by Captain Pike, and it's not Majel. Some people had hoped for that because the first number one was played by Majel Barrett, the wife of Gene Roddenberry. So as an homage to her, they were hoping that the number one would get the name of Majel. But it turned out to be Una. Then I looked it up, and on Wikipedia it was stated it was Una. Wikipedia said, Una, also known as number one, is the official character who indicates the original pilot episode of the science fiction series Star Trek was the unnamed intellectual problem-solving second-in-command serving under Captain Christopher Pike. So then I listened back to the episode again, and indeed Pike says Una, and not, as in the Dutch subtitles, Nuna. Altogether, a very nice episode and a very nice second season, and I think they did a very nice job of getting rid of all the problems of season one, including having Klingon ships with captains and commanders, finally having a lot of hair. Brian and Ruthie, I want to thank you for this marvelous ride of the second season of Star Trek Discovery. I appreciated it very much that you took me into your team and even made me an admin for the Facebook group. In October of this year, I possibly will visit the US and perhaps even we can meet in real life. Thanks so much, and, well, there will be other series, perhaps, at least the Picard series, probably. And looking forward to perhaps a roundtable discussion, including somebody from the other side of the ocean. Greets, Fred from the Netherlands.
We have to get Fred.
Oh, definitely. It's a done deal. And to that, I have to say, of course, Fred, I'm going to play this showcase all the way through because you have been such an incredible supporter of this podcast, and you've taken on, you know, admin responsibilities and, of course, the images that we provide on all these blog posts are 100% your efforts. And yeah. I want to stress to you guys that are listening to us only, take a look at the blog posts that we have for these episodes, because we'll post like 60 screen captures from this show. And I don't know how Fred does it, because he seems to pick up just every piece of every important plot point and every beautiful image that is in this show. So I want to urge all of you to take some time, just click on the links. If it doesn't show up in your podcast player, and a lot of them do, okay, because I make sure that they do, but not all podcast players will show the images. But anyway, go click on the blog post and take a look, and you will be amazed by the amount of work that Fred is doing for us. And I want to, we're making it a point that whenever we do that first roundtable, Fred is going to be on that roundtable. I'll wait. We're going to wait for Fred if the schedule doesn't work out for some reason. Because he has been such a critical part of our success that we have to have him on there. And
yes,
it's not a question of we'd like to. We have to, and
we will.
We will. So
it is known.
Yes. So yeah, we'll figure it out. It'll probably be a little way off.
Sometime in the future. That's all we can say at this point in time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
let's not make promises.
No.
We can't keep.
Well, I know it won't be happening in the around the Memorial Day timeframe, because that's when my mother-in-law will be visiting. So,
oh, fun.
Yes. So, I will not be podcasting during that time frame, or face penalty of treason. Anyway.
Alrighty then.
Yeah. So,
well, we don't want any treason. So
no, in our show notes, and we mentioned it, I think, before, there was the whole subtitle thing that I don't understand. Just really dropped the ball as far as missing that.
Screwed the pooch.
Yeah. Yeah. So I
effed up big time.
I would have to think that they're going to correct this. And, you know, a few episodes ago,
they have to.
They have to. A few episodes ago, we had mentioned that they missed Wilson Cruz.
Yeah. His name was completely left out of the opening. I mean, come on, people.
They fixed it.
Well, good.
They also fixed Olatunde Osunsanmi's name in that one episode that they misspelled it. So they're going back and fixing stuff. And I would think that they'll probably go back and fix this. So,
well, that's good and everything. But
yeah,
who is sleeping on the job in the first place?
Yeah, there is.
I'm irritated by that.
Well, I don't know.
I'm telling you, man, you need someone who is way more attention to detail, anal retentive person on your staff. Because you know the fans are going to notice.
I have three people I would like to nominate. Two people are a part of this podcast. And the other one we were just talking about. So,
I think Fred likes his job, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Fred, don't give up your day job.
Don't quit your day job.
Humanity needs you to keep training doctors. So, you know.
Yeah.
Don't be... Star Trek.
Be a fact checker on Star Trek.
Yeah, don't. But Ruthie or me, we're up for it. So
I would totally quit my day job.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I don't care who knows it.
Yeah. All right. So do you have anything you wanted to bring up from Fred's?
No, other than to say thank you. You're awesome.
Yeah.
And look forward to talking to you on the roundtable.
And hopefully we'll see you when you come. Either together or depends. One of us or individually, whichever. But hopefully that'll work out. Okay.
I guess it depends on where Brian is living, because I'm probably going to still be in Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'll still be in Florida. So,
well, those states do not touch. So we'll see.
Yes. All right. So next is actually two voicemails that I combined from Cyberman. So, first of all, thank you, Cyberman. And here's both voicemails. They're seamless, so you may not even notice it.
Hi, Brian and Ruthie. This is Cyberman for Star Trek Discovery, the finale. Oh, Ruthie, you must be thrilled. They're going to the future. I mean, how cool is that, really? Oh, amazing. I'm going to start with my rating. My rating is 10. I really wish I could have seen this in the theater on a big screen. I think that would have been incredible. And someone has to do a ride. Can you imagine being in one of those pods in the middle of that battle? I mean, honestly, it's like being in a tube flying around shooting things. Disney World, take note. It needs to be a ride. I do have a no. It doesn't take away from the 10, but Tyler on the bridge of the Chancellor's ship. Now, I can explain that because I'm thinking that I know he's supposed to be dead and being alive could jeopardize her chancellorship, but Laurel would most likely have Klingons around her that she could trust, that she, that were open-minded like her, that would keep her secret. So I can explain that one. The other no was Nan. when she actually got behind Leland when they were fighting, when she was fighting him with Giorgio, she should have tried to break his neck and not contain him. Otherwise, the fight scene was done really well because Leland did a great job at never letting those girls gang up on him. He would knock one down, attack the other one, knock one down, attack the other one. They never got a chance to go be two against one. And the no gravity fighting was really, that was great. That was fun. But I have so many yeses. The yes, you know, Serena, you've learned how to fly a fighter. Just the fact that Kaminoan warriors are flying in Ba'ul fighters mean a lot of changes has gone on. That Kaminoan is not the way it used to be. There have been many changes. So I thought that was really cool. Poe. What was not to like about Poe? The fact that she outlaws Snark and she's there to fight. You gotta love her. Jet Reno with her. Get off my ass. Oh, get off my ass, sir. I mean, classic. Just too much fun. And I have to love number one. I mean, oh, I love number one. But the other big yes for me was Spock figuring things out. When Burnham could not figure out how to make the time suit go forward, it was Spock that figured it out. And it actually made sense from a time travel perspective. But I like that because that mimics a relationship that Spock's going to have with Kirk. Because Kirk would take these crazy chances and Spock would be the one who'd figure it out and make it work. This is a relationship he's going to have again and again. So I thought that was absolutely great. And when the Discovery was going through the wormhole and wormhole scenes, again, big screen, but when Discovery was going through the wormhole and the Enterprise was swooping around and they played the TOS music, oh gosh, put a tear to my eye, honestly. It's like, wow. And then they actually threw in the 60s music. Oh gosh, they can't do this to us and not have a show. They really can't. When they were on Enterprise Bridge, the sounds, the background sounds, they had that echoey ding that they had. It was from the old show. They had sounds from the old show. So that was really cool. And the sounds were different when they were on the Enterprise Bridge and the Discovery Bridge. So if you go back and watch it again, listen to the background sounds. It was very much TOS on the Enterprise. Very cool. And I just loved that. Oh, I just thought it was great. I really did. There were so many other things I could say, but gosh, guys, what a season. It's been fun. And this finale was great. Thanks, bye.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, I like the different background sounds, too.
Yeah. In fact, I don't know if you picked it up. I don't know if I heard it during the battle, but when they come back and Spock's, you know, got rid of his beard and he's in uniform and all that, I definitely heard this. For sure, I heard it. So I love that. It's so 60s.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes, the big screen. I would love to see that. This would have played so amazingly on the big screen. And we have a big screen announcement in a minute, but not for this, but for something else. And I love the idea of a ride. I know that there had been some talk about some kind of Universal Studios attraction, I think. So
yeah, because Disney is heavily attached to ABC.
Right.
So I don't know that CBS would want to have a Disney ride.
No, I don't think they would. But I could definitely see Universal doing it. Because like when they were Viacom, Paramount used to have the parks, but they got rid of that. And of course, the thing at the Las Vegas Hilton, that's been gone for over 10 years. So there hasn't been anything like that. So I would love there to be a Universal Studios Orlando ride or attraction that's Star Trek, because you know it, the moment they announce that thing, I'm going there. That's only 2 hours away from me. I will be there. Now, would breaking his neck been effective at immobilizing? I don't think it would, because how much of, like, was he literally just a meat sack at this point and have really no, like, I would think that that would be nothing to him at this point.
Well, I mean, he healed a direct shot to the face, so.
Right. Well, that's true.
But I think Nan knew the plan, Georgia's plan, that is. So That's not, that would not have been necessary.
How come? Well, okay. So
she told Saru, right?
Right.
And Nan was on the bridge when she was talking. She didn't tell us,
right.
Obviously, because they camera panned away.
it made so much sense that.
So presumably everybody on the bridge knew if Leland gets over here, this is what we're going to do.
And for that matter, it makes so much sense that she didn't shoot him in the face multiple times, because that was one thing that I thought, well, why is she only, did she only shoot him in the face once? She sees him, you know, go through this thing where he's, you know, regenerating or whatever else, it looked nasty. And then instead of continuing to shoot, she moves away. So that was a good point. I hadn't thought of that. That was all part of the plan.
Yeah, she's drawing him into the spore drive chamber.
I kind of mentioned it before, but the preparing Spock for Kirk, I love that. Of course, preparing for Bones, too, because Bones is very much not Spock. The TOS music, love that. Klingons and Tyler, yes. The fact that Tyler's supposed to be dead. I hadn't picked up on that initially. I hadn't even thought of that, but then I heard you say that, and I'm like, oh, yeah. So, what about you? You got anything to say about Cyberman's voicemails?
I think that I'm glad that she explained it away by saying that she would have Klingons she could trust.
Yeah, that does make...
I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the only way it makes sense, really. And you would have to think that the other D7s in that probably didn't have direct access to him or... something. I don't know, but.
Or something.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, like, hey, didn't you hold his head up?
Yeah.
In front of all of us?
Yeah.
Whoopsie.
Does that mean that BB Vok is gone too?
Wait a minute. BB Vok is an adult? Yeah. Oh, gracious. I know, right? What were we just saying about a soap opera?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, boy.
Well, not to mention the fact that he did say, protect your chancellor! I mean...
Yeah, yeah.
Today is a good day to die!
Oh, I love that. I loved hearing that so much.
We are going to wade through the ruins. I know, I was like, oh, my goosebumps!
Yep.
It is a good day to die.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got our last voicemail from Todd. Boy, it's a long one today.
Thicket Dweller from Indianapolis, Indiana. This is for Star Trek Discovery podcast. I'm actually kind of rating the last two episodes together as a 10, and that would be 10 four-deck wide blasts through the saucer sections. And I was really impressed with the entire show. There's always this moment of seeing Giorgio be darker and deeper. I like the setup for the future. I'm really curious to see what we get in season 3. I'm also rating the whole season as a 9, really an 8.8. But my complaints with little things like less Jet Reno and some plot points that looked kind of glaringly hokey or broken. But my biggest reason for dropping a whole point on the entire season is because of not having audio descriptions for the blind. Thank you for your time. Love the series. It's the best Star Trek I have ever seen as an entire series. I agree with Brian. And Ruthie, I love your laugh. Have a great one.
Todd, thank you so much. I love her laugh, too.
Aw, thanks. I'm blushing.
So, Todd, again, so last time we'll play that this season, but thank you so much for your voicemail, and appreciate your rating of the season. So, we won't go into that too much, simply because we've been going forever. This is definitely the longest we've ever podcasted. All right, so I appreciate your point about the audio descriptions for the blind. To me, that is something that CBS really should make sure to have in place, not just by season 3 of the Discovery show, but by Picard. I think that is
yeah.
really, I think they really need to
rectify that.
I really would love to hear more of what it's like to watch Star Trek and some other shows, I think, being vision impaired. Like, I don't know how much sight you have. Do you have any? Do you have none? I'm not sure, but I would really be curious to know what that's like. So if you want to drop us a line or like an email about that, we'll cover that in a future podcast. Because I said long ago, I know there was an email of yours, one of Brian from Hawaii, of some stuff that we didn't cover yet. So we'll eventually cover those during the hiatus. So,
and also, were you always blind? Were you born that way? Or did you gradually become that way? So can you contrast and compare? Because if you were always that way, you don't really have any other way to know about. So
yeah,
it would be harder for you to tell us how it was and then how it is.
Yeah. Editor's note. Brian here, and I'm just inserting this just to say Todd had already told us in his last long form email to us about him going blind and when that occurred. But we will cover all of that in the episode that we go back to do cover these some of these long form pieces of feedback that we didn't cover yet. So just wanted to mention that though, Todd. You told us already. But anyway, Todd, thank you so much for your feedback over the season. We appreciate it. I also appreciate you giving us that rating of the whole season, too. That's something we'll cover on a roundtable. We won't cover it today. We're long enough as it is. All right. Next is, I don't know if we've ever gotten anything from him, maybe once, but John from NYC. He says, "Hi, Brian and Ruthie. I usually just happily listen, but after watching the season 2 finale, I had to drop you a line. They not only stuck the landing on the finale, but managed to beautifully tie together the season as a whole and sent Enterprise into TOS with a perfectly logical explanation why everything related to Discovery and Michael are never mentioned." Yep. I will just stop to say, my sentiments exactly. So much to say, but I will limit myself to just a few observations. All the little things on the Enterprise bridge, like Spock's viewfinder and number one's retracting viewer attached to the helm, like in the cage. Yeah, good points, especially the viewer. It would have been cool if they'd shown a shot of him looking into the viewer. That's the only thing I would say, but I like that oscilloscope kind of thing in the background. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, Ruthie, but that thing that like made the spirally shapes.
Uh-huh.
That's an old TOS thing. I love seeing that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
All that stuff. I was like,
yeah. So good. Michael's advice to Spock to tell him to reach out to others. This adds another layer to the scene in The Way to Eden when the space hippie tells Spock, "We reach." Oh, I hadn't thought of that. That's a good point. Everyone is aboard Discovery for next season, including Reno and Giorgio. Absolutely love Michelle Yeoh in this role. The Enterprise pulling out of space dock like in Star Trek The Motion Picture. And a subtle visual callback to Spock's solo voyage into V'ger in that same movie when Michael jumps in the suit the first time. Spock in blue, shaved, and with that classic haircut taking his seat on the bridge. My goodness, by the way, a handsome man. I that's me adding that, but you know, I saw pictures of Spock or like Leonard Nimoy Spock and Ethan Peck Spock. And I gotta say, man, Ethan Peck Spock, he's a handsome dude. He looks it, but I'm just saying he's a handsome guy. So not that I'm into that sort of thing, but you know what I'm saying?
Or that
there's anything wrong with that. Certainly nothing wrong with it. We now know how to say I love you in Vulcan. Ah, I should have written that down, but I didn't.
I didn't either.
Yeah, much more, but I'll leave it there. Can't wait to watch this whole season again and to see how it all works together. I'll tell you this much. It works together very, very well. I've been watching Star Trek since I was four in 1975, and I can honestly say that I haven't been this excited about Star Trek in decades. Live long and prosper all. Totally agree with that last point. There was a point, as much as I'm into Star Trek, there was a point there for many years where I wasn't really into it anymore. I mean, I loved it, but I didn't spend much time watching it anymore. Oh, that's all done. So I am so totally into Star Trek again, and it's all because of this show.
Yep.
All right. Why don't you take the next two?
Marc Olivier from Montreal says, I'm confused. Is this the end of Discovery and the beginning of a new series with Pike, Spock, and friends? No, Mark.
No. No. Yeah. I read this and I understood why you might think that, because it was kind of focused much more on the Enterprise than it did on Discovery, and kind of left things out in the open as far as Discovery. Like, it could have been a season finale. Or sorry, not a season finale. Could have been a series finale. Like, if they, for some reason, didn't get picked up, this would have functioned as a series finale. But no. In fact, and there is an article already posted on the Facebook group that explains this, but Alex Kurtzman has already stated that no, the next season is with Discovery. In the thing, it says 950 years in the future, but it's 930. Anyway, 900 years in the future. So, and supposedly, you know, they got there, but apparently there may be issues while they're there. I don't know. We'll find out. It scares me a little bit, but put it this way. Ruthie, do you remember how trepidatious you were at the end of season one about...
I do. About seeing the Enterprise?
Yes.
I do.
Yeah.
Very trepidatious.
You were very trepidatious. I remember it vividly. And yet, I think it turned out all right, didn't it?
I think so.
And that's why, even though I'm a little trepidatious about the future, I think it's going to work out all right. I have trust that these writers, these producers are going to handle it with as much alacrity as they did with this season. I mean, they completely shut the door on all the thing, you know, all the haters going, oh, what about this Burnham? We don't know about Burnham. Oh, Spore Drive. Oh.
That's all the hand-wringers.
Yeah, all the hand-wringers. You couldn't see me, but I was waving my hands up in the air as I was saying that. So, but same thing. Yeah, it's not a thing.
I think they've earned a little bit of positive.
I think so too. But you want to know the funny
trust?
Do you want to know the funny thing? Do you want to know the funny thing?
Sure.
If of course, I
always want to know the funny thing.
Wow. Do you want the rating of Such Sweet Sorrow Part 2, according to Rotten Tomatoes, is 73%.
What?
Yeah, these critics, some of them that pan the show, I don't get it.
They're idiots. Why do we listen to them? Oh, yeah, I don't.
Well, and one of them is from Entertainment Weekly, and one is from the New York Times. Like, it's just like...
What are those pretentious buttheads know?
The guy from the New York Times, is summarized as, it was an uneven finale for an uneven show.
Ugh, jackass.
Discovery still felt like it was trying to find its footing. Whatever.
What?
Yeah.
I don't think that guy is watching the same show that I'm watching.
And the guy from Entertainment Weekly... He says this, so Discovery has been a real weird Star Trek adventure so far, and this season was worse than the first one.
What?
Exactly. It's like,
that guy is definitely smoking crack. Crackhead.
Darren Franek, you are watching a different show than the rest of us.
Yeah, you're probably smoking crack too.
Figuratively, don't sue us for slander. We don't know about your personal habits, so.
Stay off the sauce. Yeah, that's right. I do not know you personally, nor do I know anything that you do in your personal time.
Yeah.
I only know that you are an idiot when it comes to writing Star Trek reviews.
Amen.
That's my legal disclaimer.
Yep. And Star Trek Discovery Season 2, by the way, still needs some love on Rotten Tomatoes for its reviews. Season 2 still only has an audience score of 34%.
What?
It's all right. The haters.
I'm going to have to go on Rotten Tomatoes then. Yeah. I don't even know if I have... I don't think I have a Rotten Tomatoes account. I'm going to have to create one.
You can just get on with a Facebook thing. So, anyway.
Great. So all the trolls know where I am.
Well, you know, trolls.
Yes.
I am a troll, according to... And we mentioned it last episode, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
All right. You had another one.
Yes, I did.
Yes, it is.
Brian from Hawaii says, I'm blown away by the final episode and I'm so glad they stuck the landing. This whole series has been a steady crescendo of improving stories, weaving a tale of self-discovery that has breathed new life into Star Trek. I couldn't have said it better myself, Brian. That's amazing.
I agree.
Kurtzman, he goes on, Kurtzman and team have masterfully undone all of the mistakes of Fuller's season one in clear and respectful ways. Now that Discovery is in the future, they aren't hamstrung by canon and can do whatever they want. I know Ruthie will like that. I'm guessing this series will take on a Voyager-like quality of the marooned ship set apart from Starfleet with the crew severed from their families back home. We shall see what the future brings. LLAP. Live long and prosper! I agree. I think that it will be more of like a marooned ship in the future and will not necessarily adversely affect what happens in the rest of the Star Trek universe, Brian. I think you can breathe easily.
I hope so.
Me too.
I hope so.
I have faith, though. I have confidence.
Yeah. It's like I say, I think as trepidatious as I know you were for season two, things worked out really well. And I have to think, based on what we've seen, season three is going to be amazing. I have full confidence in them. Can't wait. The only thing that really brings me down is like it's gonna be months since we see it again.
I know.
And you know,
so
like
sad.
Anyway. All right. Not to make it sad. Sven from Berlin. Hey Sven. He says, assuming I start breathing again after this incredible, breathtaking, shock making, record breaking episode of Star Trek, I must take a trip to you guys in the U.S. or Canada to watch episode one of season three as soon as it is out. Man, what a crazy mother fracking ride. Only 6.5 hours, guys. It's only 6.5 hours difference. It's not like you're waiting days to see it. Just, we have these conversations every week with Fred, and it's like, it's only 6.5 hours. That's all it is.
But when you're waiting 6.5 hours, it feels like forever.
Oh, I know. Just, you know, when by the time people start talking about the show, you know, just make sure you've gone to bed.
That's right.
And by, I think it's like 8 a.m.
Put your Facebook feed on lockdown.
Yeah. 8 a.m. I think it's probably 9 a.m. your local time. It will be available and everything's good. Just don't get all worked up. Just stay off of Facebook and Twitter.
Stay off of your social media platforms.
Yep.
You know which ones.
Yep.
It's one of the reasons why I don't go on Facebook because I'm going to get spoiled.
Yeah.
When I lose track of Facebook and suddenly I have 95 notifications. Crap.
Yep. Then he says, like Giorgio said, hard is boring. I hate boring.
Mm.
I do too.
Yes.
He makes a remark. He says, the stuck torpedo reminded me a bit of the Voyager episode Dreadnought, where B'Elanna was trying to disarm a quite similar torpedo, or what kind of weapon was that? Cardassian, as far as I remember, wasn't it?
I think so.
Maybe I'm wrong, and it has no similarities at all, but it just popped up in my mind. Unfortunately, but quite on point, Brian from Hawaii, already mentioned most of what I have noticed, but this episode is easily the highlight of most of Star Trek, if not the highlight of all of Star Trek. I know, but I'm still under the influence of this Fast and the Furious ride through space. I get the don't use the lift in an emergency. We all know that doesn't count for space battles. He calls it up about in ways. Spock's look at the end, I'm still not quite sure about it. The oath not to tell anybody about Discovery, the Spore Drive and all. And even Spock and his parents are not allowed to mention Michael in the future. Maybe it's a bit too easy of an explanation, but I was satisfied. Okay, so why can't they mention Michael Burnham? That's the one part the only thing I could say.
Because she's intrinsically linked with the Discovery.
And
maybe.
And just to satisfy people that have been complaining about her. That's it's kind of like a real world explanation for something. Anyway, that I question that part, but that's fine. I love the entrance of the Klingon warship.
Well, I didn't, because what if you say you mention the name Michael and then people are like, who's Michael? Well, then you have to explain, well, where'd she go? What happened to her? I mean, some people aren't that nosy, but they're always going to have that niggling sensation in the back of their head. And maybe those people aren't very nosy, but they are nosy in their private time. And they go in whatever the Google equivalent is in the 23rd century or wherever they are. And they try and dig up this thing. And then it starts this whole thing. And since nobody can mention it because it's treason, if they do Google it, then the Starfleet's going to come down on them and be like, hey, what are you doing? Why'd you do that? Who told you about Michael?
Yeah.
And then they're going to have to kill him because, there's no other way.
Because Section 31.
Because Section 31. And you can't do something that more rational like a memory wipe. I mean, that would be way too rational.
There you go. Men in Black it.
That's right. Look directly in the light. Wait, put my sunglasses on.
It was not a bird of prey, by the way. It was a Klingon cleave ship.
Cleave ship.
Yeah. Which I just love. The whole thing about a Klingon cleave ship is that it is strong enough to be able to slice another ship in half.
It basically shows up in cleaves right through the battle.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah. And I'm still trying to think of a space battle on television that was that large, that impressive, that well choreographed. In cinema, maybe, but what? Star Wars Episode 2, or was it Episode 3? Where Anakin and Obi-Wan fought? Talking about Star Wars, the DOT-7 seemed like a nod to R2 units, don't you think? Okay, Brian maybe. From Hawaii mentioned that as well. Okay, well, yes, that's it is, but I don't really care.
Yes, me neither. I'm not complaining.
His question is, did anyone else find it fascinating, suspicious, that we only saw the lips of the debriefer at the end? It made me think.
Maybe
the one person that I thought of that it could be, I don't know why, was Admiral Mendez, Commodore Mendez, who was the person that was in the menagerie. The body type looked similar, but we don't actually find out. And I don't know.
I'm telling you, I have seen those teeth somewhere, not necessarily on Star Trek. I'm saying I recognize the actor, but I could not place it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it did sound like a familiar voice, I will say. Mm-hmm.
Familiar voice and those teeth. I don't know what it was about the teeth, but I was like, man, I know that guy.
Predictions. I guess there is no way that Ash Tyler won't be a part of that Section 31 show. Well, that's definitely for sure.
I don't think there's any way.
Yeah. Do we really need to speculate who will be captain next season? Saru already claimed it. I think if Saru isn't the captain, there's going to be some... What's that?
I said, no take backs.
Yeah.
Like he claimed it, like, no take backs.
I would have to say they're going to need some splaining. Because
I think that's true, though. I think it's going to be Saru.
Have to be.
I mean, if they really did jump into the future, who else is going to be? He's the ranking officer. So by default.
Right. Unless Giorgio has captain... And then that would be kind of scary.
I don't think anybody would follow her.
No.
So, you're only captain insofar as people do what you say.
Yeah, that's true. So where might Discovery end up? I guess it will be in another time period. It will be the future. The showrunners like to play with known characters, so I think we will come across some familiar faces next year. Well, I don't know how. Based on what I've heard, I think they're going to stay in the future, and that's about all we need to know. If the existence of Discovery, Michael, and the Spore Drive was really kept a secret throughout the Star Trek years, I think there's still a chance that Michael will meet Spock again for a specific mission, maybe even the Enterprise crew, and who knows, maybe with a different captain? Oh, like, go back to Kirk? I don't know about that. Again, it would require...
he lives a really long time. Oh, yeah. She wouldn't have to go back all the way.
Yeah.
I don't think he lives 930 years.
Well, we know he doesn't.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm saying, matter, generally speaking, I don't think a Klingon's lifespan is 930 years.
Right. That's it. Goodbye, everybody. Till next season. And remember, we are Starfleet. We get this done.
That's right.
Sven from Berlin to beam out. All right. Thank you, Sven.
Yeah, that was awesome. All right. Next, we have Steve. And Steve is from the internet, or maybe he's from Facebook. He's from one of the two.
Yeah, I didn't get where he's from.
That's okay. He can just be from the internet and Facebook. Steve says, I agree with all of Brian from Hawaii's points. The biggest no for me was Michael flying in space when she could have rode with Spock in the shuttle. Also, but I may have missed this, but did the entire Discovery volunteer to go to the future as well? I thought there was only a handful from the penultimate episode, but the finale showed more crew. Now I really want a Pike Enterprise show. I think we all do, Steve.
Yes. I think
we all do.
We all do.
And I think that maybe we covered the Michael flying in space as opposed to the shuttle.
Uh-huh.
Sort of a last minute change. Also, not sure about why there were more crew members than we thought there were. I have no idea.
I think first episode they need to cover that and cover how many people are left.
Yeah, some people beamed back or something.
And will Neelix join the crew?
Yes! But that's only if they are in the Gamma Quadrant or whatever.
Delta.
Whatever, Delta Quadrant. One of those other quadrants that's Odo. Clearly not the Alpha Quadrant.
Odo will join the crew.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't think so.
Me neither.
All right.
Okay, next we have Donna from the internet. As for Discovery, lots of possibilities. I can't wait to see what season 3 has in store. And
I agree.
Finally, well, finally, as in finally for this 3 that I'm reading.
Yeah.
Not finally, as for finally for feedback. Anyway, James the Augmented Sailor says, this episode is amazing and is the culmination of the entire season. This episode alone brings up scores on all other episodes for me, except some details of Terra Elysium's still stick in my craw. But that's okay, because that episode in itself was still just so great. They so left me wanting more. I'm like having a silent meltdown in my brain in anticipation of their arrival in the future. I'm curious as to how they're going to rectify Georgiou being there, but also having her in the Section 31 series. If this is still the case, because I don't see Discovery coming to the 23rd century, and like I said with last week's episode, I think from here out the show is in the future like we always wanted. Ruthie! they're in the future, Ruthie! I know. Now we are so happy we do the Dance of Joy. Oh my gosh.
I agree.
Oh my gosh.
I agree with the caveat that I mentioned earlier.
I feel like that's from Angel. You have to tell me, is that from Angel, the Dance of Joy? Oh my gosh. I am going to believe that you are talking about the Dance of Joy from Angel.
I have a feeling you're probably going to be correct.
Oh, you think so?
Yes, I think you're going to be correct.
Maybe he was talking about, does he like, James, do you like Angel and Buffy? Are you a fan of the Buffyverse? Anyway, sorry, that got me super sidetracked because that episode was one of my favorites and it's really funny.
Sidetracked?
Yeah, a little
what
bit.
What is this bizarre segue that's happening right now? Can we maybe stay on point?
I always do the dance of joy. Anyway, one other thing I'd like to add, says James. We had the thought in the Facebook group, and I'm seeing a lot of thoughts at other groups, that the ending was the ending of Discovery and the start of another Enterprise series. I think it's just the opposite. One thing we have to be mindful of is that this was all shot well before the reaction to Anson Mount's Pike and the Enterprise. This entire season was a course correction of Brian Fuller's mistakes. People wanted everything to fit canon, and that's what they did. People wanted fan service, and that's what they did. I believe Kurtzman focused on Enterprise at the end as a sort of passing the torch, saying, hey, here's your good long look, now it's done. Questions are answered, and now we can move on. Discovery is out of harm's way for canon breaches and unnecessary hate from the so-called purists. Discovery doesn't need Enterprise to tell great stories, and we're basically getting a bit of a soft reboot next season. One thing I don't think they expected, though, was the fan reaction to Pike's Enterprise, and I think they're going to be forced to create a new vehicle for it, be it a series or a few streaming movies. The ending of this season was absolutely perfect. I have to agree, James. Gotta agree. It was awesome.
I tend to think that you are correct. I think they had no idea that Pike would have this kind of fan reaction, because, and we're really just starting to get the articles now that they're kind of like really noticing it. You know, Anson Mount obviously knows about it now, and we've heard Kurtzman talk about it. And I think it's just a question. And CBS, I know CBS is on their Facebook group or Facebook page, I should say, for Star Trek Discovery. There are so many, and not even all of them are from me, telling them that we want a Pike series. And but I, you know, I've put on a few myself, and there is so much. It's practically universal. I mean, there are some people that don't think that he should get a series, but I think pretty much unanimously people think that a movie or a mini series or something is in order.
Yeah, those people are obviously dumb.
Well, that's the thing. You know, opinions are, you know, like a-holes. Everyone has one. And there's always going to be somebody that just wants to.
And they stink.
Yes. They definitely smell.
Some of them do anyway.
Yep.
All right. Enough about that.
All right. Well, anyway, it's worth saying, James, thank you so much. You're also an admin on the Facebook group. You help us every week, except, you know, the week that you had a baby, which kind of understand that. But
yeah, we're giving you a pass for that.
That's
make sure it doesn't happen too often.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Anyway, thank you for all of your help. And I also extended to James that we'd love to have him come on the round table too. I think it would be really good. He actually would love to do it. So
awesome.
Yeah. All right. So we've got another one from Mike from Cleveland. So for the most part, this was an excellent episode of Discovery and head over heels better than last year's finale. Yeah, that's worth saying. Last year's finale was not that great. It ended great, but it was not that great. It had some issues. And compare that to this one, and oh my God, this is just in another league. Just a thought, with Giorgio on board and apparently technologically more advanced than our crew, why would she want to go 950 years into the future and lose Michael to Mama Burnham? She told us, you should know me by now, I leave very little to chance, especially when it comes to revenge. Where would Giorgio want to go? Home. Back to here, Mirror Universe, and reclaim her empire. What if what we just watched this season was a very sophisticated heist and Emperor Giorgio just stole Discovery?
Hmm.
I
don't know how I feel about that.
Don't like that idea.
I don't either. I'm like, no, I don't want it.
I think that this season has been a general, like, somewhat of a redemption on her character, and I believe season three will continue that. I think that her love for Michael is very genuine, and I tend to think that they're not going to make her the bad guy. If anything, I could see her kind of being like Garrick, you know? Mm-hmm. She's the character that is willing to do the tough stuff, the difficult stuff, the stuff that other people don't want done. And that's why she is perfect as kind of the person behind Section 31. So,
right. And she's in the same vein as Garrick, that character that you're not really ever 100% sure about.
Yeah.
Like, you're 99.9% sure, but... Yep. There's that one small chance, maybe.
Yeah. I think we also saw that the Kelpians are going to be a problem in the future. Classic case of too much too soon. I can't be the only one thinking the Ba'ul are pushing up daisies back on Kamadar. That's a good point, man. I cannot disagree with that one. It had crossed my mind that they just basically conquered them all.
Wiped out the Ba'ul.
Yeah.
Sorry for you.
Yep. Reminds me of the cold open of the, was it In a Mirror Darkly? When the Vulcans land on Earth and, you know, the mirror humans just basically beat them up and take over Murder the starship. Oh. Yeah. I could totally see that happening, but I don't know. I tend to think that they seem good, so we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Jury's still out. How about that?
Well, whatever the showrunners plan, I'm all in, and I feel confident saying Discovery is off to the best start of all the Trek series and is on track to being the best Trek ever. I totally agree. I would definitely say that this is the best two seasons, best first two seasons of any Star Trek show at this point.
Yeah. Honestly, season two feels like a completely different show, and I'm okay with that.
And it seems like season three is going to be a completely different show, too. The amount of how much the show changes from year to year is really interesting, you know? Mm-hmm. So... I really enjoy the podcast. You and Ruthie have been putting out, and I think that's what he meant to say. He did not. I think he said have been pulling out, which it also isn't so great. And looking forward to continuing trekkings with you guys in the future. Don't know.
I always put out. Oh man. Boy. Mom, I'm sorry. I love you.
I don't know this woman. So what? I can't. Well, you know, literally, I've still 5 years we've been podcasting together and still have not met. It's crazy. All right. Let's. William the Irishman from West Virginia. Now we know. This is a quick reaction as I just finished my first watch and don't know if I'll get time to watch again and or post more before the deadline. Well, our deadline kind of moved quite a bit. So
very fluid.
Sorry about that. We appreciate all of you getting your feedback in. And if you're surprised that you're hearing your feedback on here, it's because we didn't record until Sunday. So
happy Easter.
Yeah.
We had a very fluid deadline.
Yes. And this is how we're spending our Easter.
Yep.
Well, I have some questions about some aspects of the episode. We knew everything would not be answered at the end, but a lot definitely was answered. My initial thought is that they could do the entire next season in the future. We didn't see any command for Discovery to stay in the same place as the short Trek showed. So that suggested the command comes later. Thus, between now and then, there can be some great adventures. William, the Irishman from West Virginia. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
William. And yeah, that is a good point about Calypso. If it has been standing in place for 1,000 years, as Zora suggests in that episode, that takes place quite a bit later.
Long time. Yeah. Yeah. That's a serious future jump.
Yeah.
Which I kind of tend to think that's the case.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I do feel like it would take that long for an AI to develop into a benevolent AI, which I feel like that's what Zora was.
Yeah.
Based on her actions regarding her feelings for, what's his face? Aldous Hodge's character. I cannot remember the character name, but I know the actor.
Kraft.
Yes, thank you. Like, I don't know the character name, but I know the actor. Because I love him ever since Leverage. He's so great in that show. All right. We have more from Cleveland, from the Ohio area state.
My former stomping ground.
That's right. Rick says, what an ending. Absolutely epic. So many story arcs tied up perfectly. Spock's journey may be my favorite. His relationship with Michael transformed so much over the course of the season, and we now see the profound impact she had on making Spock our Spock. Culber finally realizing his love for Stamets was so perfect. When Paul was wounded, I saw the reunion coming, but feared he would die in sickbay with Culber at his side. I'm relieved that doesn't seem to be the case for these star-crossed lovers. All the canon complaints about the Spore Drive, Spock's sister, all of it wrapped up in a perfect little classified bow. How about Klingons acting like Klingons, fighting with honor in an epic space battle, and wow, what a battle. That was Wolf 359 epic with today's effects.
Yep.
For all the criticism out there, some people assumed that the galaxy we know, even the characters we know, were always as we know them. There can be so much more history of the future to enjoy. So much fun from Tilly, Reno, and Giorgio this week. I had to replay the bridge scene a few times to figure out for sure if it was Reno or Tilly who said, get off my ass in the turbo lift. The whole drinking game bit, Giorgio with her easy is boring and everybody hates you. Congratulations. Oh, that's right. I loved that one. Leland, we were just talking about you. Everybody hates you. Congratulations.
I had that on my notes. I pulled it out after I saw this.
Yeah, that was awesome. The way they make you laugh in the heart of the most intense parts of the story. In the end, the scenes of discovery following Michael into the wormhole. So beautiful. They had the feel of classic Trek movie era visuals, especially the motion picture and Voyage Home with a current feel. I could go on forever. Such great performances. Such incredible writing and directing. I cannot wait to see what comes next for Discovery and hopefully for Enterprise too. Agreed.
100%.
Yep. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Rick, great. Great thoughts there. I loved and wrapped up in a little bow. I agree.
Mm-hmm. A little classified bow.
Yeah. Aaron from Akron, another Northeast Ohio person. This by far is the most action-oriented season finale I've ever seen. That had quite the space battle, and it solved one of my pet peeves about Star Trek battles. I can't believe that nobody thought of having a carrier ship capable of deploying fighters. Kurtzman and team have, at least, tried to tidy up the canonical inconsistencies. I say we go with it and get hyped up for season 3. Amen to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't mention it on Rick's points, but the whole thing about the Wolf 359, I would probably say the better battles from the Dominion War. Some of those, like season 6, season 7 scenes were amazing, but they weren't, you know, they're 20 years behind on now compared to this. This was amazing. I don't think I've ever seen anything, certainly on TV, that can hold a candle to this. All right. LT from NC is next. He says, for whatever I said last week about pacing and how things drug out or seem slow, this tied it all up. This was an amazing episode that took me back to two times before in my sci-fi career. Oh, you have a sci-fi career?
Do tell.
I think I know what you meant, though. One was 1977 when my dad and I went to see Star Wars for the first time. And the second was 1979 when we went to see Star Trek, the motion picture. I jokingly told my wife I thought I strained my feels after watching it. I can admit it was an emotional thing for me in a good way. I watched it twice and it still held up. Yeah, it does. And I think I said it earlier, but my first reaction to this when I first watched it is I thought that this was the best episode of television that I've ever seen and that maybe I will ever see. I don't know if that's true, but I'll tell you, man, it's so amazing.
Editor's note. Brian, I just wanted to put this in to say, after watching season 8, episode 3 of Game of Thrones, no, it's not true. Or at least it had been dethroned. No pun intended.
Ken from Chicago is our last bit of feedback. He says, it's a great time for hashtag Star Trek fans. Where hashtag Star Trek Discovery is providing me with hashtag TOS and movie vibes from the original hashtag Trek movies to the hashtag Kelvin timeline ones, comma. Hashtag the Orville is providing me with the hashtag TNG vibes because hashtag we can like both. And he gives two thumbs up and a Vulcan salute.
Yep.
And in case
hashtag
you didn't,
we can like both because I do.
And hashtag Ken is on Twitter. Hashtag person of interest was also, especially later season of The Machine versus Samaritan. So I think that was from last week. You were talking about person of interest.
Mm-hmm.
By giving that was an explicit,
directly related to me.
Yeah. By giving an explicit time frame of an impending doom, say 12 hours, then allows time for characters to say farewell. So, okay, so that was, I guess, part of...
Yeah, I think that should have been included in the previous episode.
Yeah, probably should have been.
Stuff. So. Oh, well.
He says, why couldn't the Discovery just keep Spore jumping away? Yeah, Control could replicate the Spore Drive in a fleet of ships that it keeps, and just keeping on jumping past Stamets' ability to jump until it burns out the mycelial network.
Mm-hmm.
Control won't care as long as it wins. That's a good point, Ken.
Yep.
I grant that. Maybe some of this may have been more appropriate to the last episode, but...
I think we read that, though.
We may
in
have.
The last episode, because I remember reading it.
Well, if we read it, we just read it again.
Because at the end of this is a, did Ruthie want them in hashtag the future? And then there's a Cylon gif by your command. Screwed that all up. Sorry, Ken. Twitter's foreign to me. I can't always follow it. Doesn't make sense. But we get what you're saying, I think.
I think so.
I think everybody else does too.
Okay. Do you have any other feedback that we didn't cover yet?
Whew. Let's see. Yeah. I don't think it's ever really a good idea to compare numbers unless you know 100% what the enemy has. As in, when she said, you only have this many and we have this many.
Oh, yeah.
Count again. Oh, man. You had to know that was coming.
Yeah.
So why would you say it out loud? That's like saying when you're on a Friday and it's not very busy and you say, man, it's so slow today. Oh, why would you say that out loud? Because now it's going to be super busy and we all know who to blame for it.
Yeah. All on you.
I think that is literally the only thing I wrote down that was not mentioned by anyone else. But I do have other things to say as far as once again, Sonequa Martin Green is amazing. The way that she does things really, like with her body, like her physicality, as well as her facial expressions and her deliveries and all that stuff. Like when they get, that whole scene with the turbo lift thing and then like the explosion comes through and how you look at it, how you see it from that perspective. I thought that was so cool.
Yeah.
And how something that happens on a different deck of the ship can impact what they're doing at that moment. Instead of just having this explosion happen where it knocks them all down, they showed how it happened. I thought that was super cool. And the fact that she's in her head for half a minute, kind of processing what's going on. But when Spock says her name the second time, it basically snaps her back out of it and brings her back to what we're doing. And she is all focused after that. I thought that was so cool and so completely the way that I think that someone who has been trained to act in these situations would handle that. You know, it's all about compartmentalization. And basically, I don't have time to process that right now. So I'm going to go back and focus on this.
Yeah.
Which is her mission at hand. And the same kind of thing happened, not the same thing, but sort of similar later when she's trying to figure out what's going on and she has that relationship with Spock where he's like, he's having his own moment of processing, as Cyberman said. And he says, she's like, not now, Spock. And he's like, no, now, precisely now. And she immediately turns and looks at him because she knows, oh, this is serious. I need to pay attention to him.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And just,
yep.
I don't know, just the way that they react and interact with each other and all that stuff. It's just so cool. I love them. I think she's great. She's amazing. Sinequa, if you're listening, we would love to talk to you.
Oh, that would be amazing.
I will try not to pee my pants. No promises.
I think I said before, if I saw her on the street somewhere or something, I'd probably just like start crying.
I was going to say start crying. Yeah, that's Brian's thing. Brian cries more than I do.
I'm alive.
That's right. I'm dead
Ruthie,
inside.
Ruthie is control.
Oh, man.
No, you're not. You just like to think that you are.
I do not.
No, I know.
I just don't cry ever.
Dead inside.
That's not true. I do cry sometimes. Just not very often. It's rare.
Did you cry at all for this episode?
Nope.
Okay. Well, anyway, I only have one other thing that I can think of at this moment. There may be others, but
I know, right? So much stuff that I can't think of right now.
I know. What was with the Cornell number one handshake?
Oh, that was like a, I'm not going to see you again, probably. So respect.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of undertone there that I was picking up on, but like a story that we have not heard that I
probably won't now.
Well, unless it's covered in one of the novels. I know that there is a novel coming out this summer called The Enterprise War. That's featuring this crew. So I wouldn't be surprised if maybe it's covered there. I don't know. But anyway, so that's all that we've got. We do have a little bit of news. So shipwide announcements. We actually heard that too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So this week's episode of The Ready Room features Sinequa Martin-Green. Again, so she's back on there for the second time. So I was kind of hoping we'd hear from Kurtzman, but we didn't. I guess maybe that's why Michelle Paradise was on last week. But I'm not going to complain. She was great on there and worth saying. So that whole thing about like what's going on with Discovery for next season, is it the Enterprise show? Is it Discovery? Where are they? There's a link in the Facebook group that's in our show notes here, but it's basically an interview with the Hollywood Reporter is interviewing Alex Kurtzman, and he talks a lot about that, the fan reaction to Pike, and all of that. So it's worth reading. I would recommend reading it. The DS9 documentary, this I heard about after we recorded. So it missed last week, but the DS9 documentary has a release date. So have you heard about this? Because when I mentioned it
earlier this week, you didn't seem to know anything about it, but Ira Stephen Bear is behind a project to do a documentary on Deep Space Nine, and it's all about the show. They went back and they have remastered a bunch of shots from Deep Space Nine to make it into HD, and it will be, there is a 1-day release through Fathom Events, I believe, where they're going to show the documentary on movie screens, and it's on May 13th, and I will be there. So I bought my ticket as soon as I found out about it. One thing to be a little concerned about, at least as far as getting a little stretched thin, I think, Michelle Yeoh, she has been cast in the Avatar sequels. So I don't know how much she is doing. I wouldn't be surprised if it's something involving some stunts or something, because I know Cliff Curtis has been, who of course we knew from Fear the Walking Dead, he's been attached to those for quite some time now. So I don't know what her involvement is. I would imagine it's not as extensive. So just mention that. And we got finally some more of the Picard series casting announcements. So three more cast members were announced. And that is Allison Pill, who I don't know her, but I know she's best known from the movie Vice. And she was...
Was she in Vice?
I believe she was Mary Cheney. Like Dick Cheney's daughter?
Uh-huh. Hang on a second. I'm looking it up. Carry on. Oh, she was in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yes, she was. And she's one of the roles that she's best known for is The Newsroom and also American Horror Story Cult. She was in
that. Oh, she was also in Dan in Real Life.
Okay.
That's probably where I know her.
Oh, okay. So I don't know her, but I hear good things about her. Also, second cast member is Harry Treadaway, and according to what I've been able to find, he's best known for playing Victor Frankenstein in Penny Dreadful. And last is Issa Briones. I think that's how you say her name.
Maybe it's Issa.
It might be Issa. She's got a very short history on IMDb. There's not much there. The biggest thing that I noticed her have any credits for was American Crime Story. But anyway, she was the third cast member that was announced. So, and I imagine that there'll be a couple of more announcements. Hopefully Gates McFadden. I want her to be married to Picard.
I know, me too.
Yeah. Jonathan Frakes, we don't know if he's going to be in the show as Riker, but we do know he is scheduled to direct episodes 3 and 4. So what they're doing, it's going to be a 10-episode series, and it's basically there'll be 5 directors, each of them directing 2 episodes in a row. So he's doing 3 and 4, and he's really excited, and he says that Patrick Stewart, of course, is really excited about it. So editor's note. Hi, this is Brian, and since we recorded on April 21st, we've had 3 other stories that have been released that I wanted to cover since it's going to be a little while until our next episode. So I'm recording these news items on May 2nd, 2019. So if there's anything that breaks after that, that's why you're not hearing it here. But 3 things that were released since we recorded. First of all, we had reported this originally on episode 30, which covered season 2, episode 5. But now it's official, and this comes from StarTrek.com. A new original CG animated Star Trek series that follows a group of lawless teens who discover a derelict
fleet ship and use it to search for adventure, meaning, and salvation. This is in the works from Nickelodeon and CBS Television Studios. The show, to be developed by Emmy Award winners Kevin and Dan Hageman, who are known for Troll Hunters and the Lego Movie, and will be overseen by Ramsey Nato, Executive Vice President, Animation Production and Development at Nickelodeon, will debut exclusively on Nickelodeon. The show will be the second upcoming animated Star Trek series, of course, joining Star Trek Lower Decks, which will stream on CBS All Access. So, Lawless Teens, I don't know what to make of that. It could be good. It could be not so good. We don't know, you know, what time frame it's going to be in. Hopefully it'll be something completely different and not make everything centric around things we've already seen. The second, this story, I pulled things from TrekCore.com and from StarTrek.com. IDW Publishing has announced it will be releasing a new Discovery comic series. Star Trek Discovery Aftermath will kick off a 3-issue run this August with a central focus on Spock after returning to the Enterprise and moving forward from the disappearance of his sister, Michael Burnham. The series reunites co-writers Kirsten Beyer, Mike Johnson, and artist Tony Chastain, who previously worked together on 2018's Star Trek Discovery, The Light of Kalos, for a storyline focused prominently on Spock. As Laurel and Pike try to negotiate a fragile peace, Spock finds himself grappling with the fallout from what happened with Michael Burnham, and the mysteries about her still left to unravel. I don't know what that last part is, but interesting. So it's kind of the idea of a Pike series, but I imagine it'll probably be in that 124 days. I don't know. We'll see. And then the third thing is courtesy of StarTrek.com. Star Trek Online will be launching a new update called Rise of Discovery, which will feature 2 new episodes featuring Prime Universe, Captain Lorca, and Commander Landry on the USS Buran. So we're finally going to get to see Prime Lorca. Players will learn what happened to Lorca and Landry in advance of their assignments to the USS Discovery crew. More specifically, players answer a distress call from the Federation starship after it sustains heavy damage from Klingon forces led by Jula, matriarch of Hosmokai. The attack leaves its sole survivor, Lorca, stranded on a desolate ice moon littered with Klingon search parties. His fate now lies in the hands of Star Trek Online players, who must team up with Landry to secure his survival. This is scheduled to be released for PC May the 14th, and then some date later they didn't specify for consoles. So if you're an online player, you should have this shortly, and sounds good. I like the idea of seeing Lorca. It's obviously a prequel, so to speak, happening, you know, before. So, but I like the idea of seeing this. Of course, we don't know if Prime Lorca survived in the Mirror Universe. I assume that if we're seeing him in the online game, I would say it's likely we're not going to see him in Discovery or any of the other shows, but it's always possible. So anyway, I just wanted to add those 3 stories and bring you back to our regularly scheduled recording. All right, so that's it. So why don't you tell people how to contact us?
All righty. You can connect with us or submit your feedback by going to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. You can call us at 304-837-2278. Let us know you're leaving feedback for us. You can email us at StarTrekGSM@gmail.com. Or you can join our Facebook group and talk to us there. We have a specific episode thread for feedback for each episode, but lots of other stuff is going on. Or you can tweet us at StarTrekGSM.
And we will let you know when we have stuff coming out, what our plans are and all that. Obviously, this is the last episode for the regular, no more episodes for a little bit. And we will be doing, as we said, we will be doing at least one roundtable, but we'll also cover some feedback we didn't cover in a later episode. And we'll be back. And of course, Ruthie and I will be covering Picard once it's out. Whether it's going to be on this feed or somewhere else, we don't know yet. We will let you know when the time comes. So
a great way to support us is to give us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. And editor's note, since we recorded this on Easter Sunday, we've gotten 2 5-star reviews. So we would like to thank Don M132 and Talise. And even though Talise doesn't call herself this, it is mentioned in the review. So thank you, Cyberman, for her 5-star review. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't use Apple Podcasts, just go ahead. And if your podcast client allows you to leave ratings or comments or what have you, just go ahead and leave us something in that, and hopefully we will get it and respond. Yeah. So share and retweet us when we post. That would be helpful. You can find posts that can be shared by going to facebook.com/GoldenSpiralMedia. And of course, retweet us. So, and other ways you can support the network can be found at GoldenSpiralMedia.com/support. And I mentioned last episode, we will be coming up with a Patreon to help just offset costs and whatnot. And hopefully, you know, maybe give us a little bit of expenses paid so that we could like go to a conference or something. That would be great. One of us or both. But anyway, GoldenSpiralMedia.com/support. And you can also hear me. We're on a hiatus, but on the Walking Dead talk through. So until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Ruthie.
And I'm Visual Feedback Fred.
Peace and long life.
Live long and prosper.
Phew. Oh my God.
Holy crap.